It's good to be back here. I've preached here a few times in various settings. I think I've only preached in this church once, but some back when we were in different places. I remember one time with just a wall of mirrors. Was that the Y or something? But anyway, so it's good to be back. We'll be reading this morning from John 15 and looking at verses 1 through 11. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Now, I may substitute at least one word in here as we go through, and I'll explain that as we go through the sermon. John 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you this morning, enable us to see what you would have us to hear, to see, to know as we go through this passage. O Lord, we thank you that you are the vine dresser, that Jesus came as the true vine. Help us to know what it means to abide in him, to know what it means to be a part of that vine, the branches of the vine. Lord, help us not to go chasing after the things that are in our world, chasing after the wind, as Solomon says, but to trust in you, to abide in you, and then to be used of you to bear fruit in this world. Lord, be with my words. May they be true to yours. May you bless your people here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Madison and I were walking the other day. Came by the house we call the Castle House because it's got this spire on it, and it looks pretty cool. But anyway, the owner of the house was outside tending her garden. She's got a flower garden around the front of the house and beautifully manicured lawn, and then a vegetable garden along the fence. And so I came by, and she was out there working. I just commented how nice everything looked. And so she came up and she was talking to us, and she said, by the way, over here in the vegetable garden, there's a lot of tomatoes. And so if you're coming by and you see a tomato, go ahead and take it and enjoy. So that was really nice. Now, I doubt that she is one who would let those tomatoes sort of fall near the ground and get covered with dirt so that they got all smushed in and awful so that people coming by couldn't pick them. She's probably caring for those tomato plants, making sure that they're doing what they need to do to produce the fruit that they need to produce. You'll see how that ties in later. When I was providing limo service out of Rochester, we did a lot of things down in the Finger Lakes. And I had a wedding one day and taking this group down and came to one of the vineyards and took them down to get pictures taken. Well, a lot of people were just milling around and not all the wedding party was getting pictures at the same time. So some of them sort of took off through the vines. And here's these beautiful rows of vines and everything's very well cared for. And these people are going through and they're not being real careful. So the vine dresser comes down and says, we use these vines. This is how we produce the grapes that we need to make the things that we do. And we would appreciate it. If you want to walk between the rows, that's fine. But please make sure you're not touching the vines and scuffing up the fruit. The vine dresser was caring for those vines, even during a time when, you know, it didn't seem like they could do much harm, but they definitely could if they just brushed up against them or started plucking some of the fruit from there. Now, looking at row after row of vines that were carrying a bounty of grapes, it was no wonder that God uses the picture of a vineyard and the vines to picture his people that he cares for. Now, the Old Testament used the vine often to picture God's people. But one thing that every instance I could find, now there might be one that doesn't, but every instance I find is where the people of God, here is God giving them everything they need, and the people still move away from that source of their life. They move away. God's people move away from the vine. For example, Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. There we read, "Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it only produced worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground." God's people continually moved away from the vine, moved away from the vineyard. God had planted them in the promised land. He had given them everything that they needed. Moses had even warned them before they went in, "Watch out! You know, God's going to take you and sweep you through this land. He's going to give it to you. But then when you build your houses, when you plant your fields, when everything seems to be going well, don't forget that God who brought you in." And what did Israel do? They forgot God over and over again until finally he had to pluck them out of that vineyard and send them into captivity. But he preserved a remnant. God was still faithful. The vine dresser was still faithful. Even though the promised land was overrun, God was still faithful. And he brought them back into the land. And he planted them again so that our Lord Jesus Christ could come through them the true blessing for his people, the true vine would come through that people. What's God's answer to moving away? What's God's answer to, you may do that today too. You know who God is. You know what he has done for you, but every now and then, maybe your mind is in a different place. You're pursuing other things. What's the answer to that? Well, Psalm 80, which we'll sing after the sermon, talks about that answer. Psalm 80, verses 14 to 19. There we read, O God of hosts, turn again now, we beseech you. Look down from heaven and see and take care of this vine. Even the shoot which your right hand has planted, and on the Son whom you have strengthened for yourself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. But let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom you made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. O Lord God of hosts, restore us. Cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. What does it take to come back to the vine? It takes prayer that God would work, that God would revive his people and bring them back, that they would repent of their sin and turn to the true vine, the Son of Man who came to take away the sin of the world. How are we restored? By going to the true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before John chapter 15, now Jesus and his disciples had just finished the Last Supper, okay, the Lord's Supper. They had gotten done eating. Judas had departed so that he could go and turn Jesus in. Peter was, okay, standing up and being proud and saying that he would never leave Jesus. And Jesus tells him, you'll deny me three times. All the disciples are a little on edge after that. If Peter can deny him, what are we? And then at the end of chapter 14, Jesus says, get up, let us go from here. Now, whether they lingered a while longer and then Jesus kept talking, I don't know. But it's quite possible they did get up and go at that point. And as Jesus is walking along, heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, he may have passed some vines on the way. He may have passed the temple where the golden vine was. But something called to his mind how the Old Testament used the vine as God's people, and he instructed his disciples, I am the true vine. We'll look at this passage in a few different parts. First of all, verses 1 through 3, the vine, the true vine, the vine dresser, and the branches. From there, we'll move on to bearing much fruit, and then that your joy may be full. The true vine, the vine dresser, and the branches. Let's read again verses 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or cleans. He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So we've got the true vine. Who is the true vine? The true vine is Jesus. He is the one that we need to depend on. He's the one that we get our life from. He is the one that without whom there is no salvation. We must see Jesus as the true vine. We must be nourished through him. We must see that he is the only way, as he said in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now he says, I am the true vine. We must depend upon him. The vine dresser. Who's the vine dresser? Well, the Father's the vine dresser. He's caring for the vine. He has given the Son to be that true vine, and now he continues to care for the vine. And who are the branches? They're not really branches. They're sort of the outshoots of that true vine. But that's us. That's who Jesus is talking about. The branches are the people of God who are bearing fruit for him. Now, when I changed the translation a little bit there. You'll see in the NASB, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, the problem here is that the word originally just meant to lift up. As it was used, it started to be used for lifting up an anchor and then sailing away. So that's where the takeaway comes in. But I would agree with Boyce that doesn't fit the context. When Jesus is talking to his disciples here, he says, every branch in me, and there's a key, every branch in me. You'll see that in me over and over again. Abide in me. So I don't think these are people that fit into verse 6. He will deal with the people who aren't abiding in him, who aren't in him, and those people are just going to wither and fall off, and then they're just picked up and thrown into the fire. But that's not the people who are abiding in Christ. That's not the people who are in Christ. This is talking about how the vine dresser is caring for his people. And those who are in Christ, those who are connected to the true vine, he lifts up. So some of the branches might have fallen close to the ground. Is that a good place to be? Maybe you've fallen close to the ground. Is that a good place to be? When the rain comes, you get all splattered with dirt and you get covered up so you can't even get any of the light from the sun. You don't want to be there. The Father doesn't want you to be there. So he comes down and he lifts you up and puts you in a place where you can bear fruit. And I think that's the idea that's here. He's lifting up those branches that aren't bearing fruit, but they are in me. They are in Christ. So he reaches down, he lifts them up, and places them somewhere that they can bear fruit. And those that are bearing fruit, he cleans. Why doesn't he use the normal word for prune here? Well, I think it's partly to make sure that we recognize that the branches aren't going to be cut off. Okay, it is the idea of pruning, but it's more in the sense of cleaning. The branch stays. God's people stay. If you're truly in Christ, you continue on, but you're cleaned. That idea of pruning is just the cleaning up. Do you like to be pruned? I don't like to be pruned. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's hard. But it's always necessary. The fact is that if you're living life before God, now, you may already be there. Maybe you're perfect. That doesn't actually go along with our theology. But you may think you're doing pretty well. Standing before God, living for him, doing the things. Guess what? I think all of us, I know I do, all of us need to be cleaned up. All of us need to be pruned. All of us need to have those little areas of our life that aren't quite fitting in with what God desires cleaned up. And so we get pruned. God brings things into our life that may not always seem to be good, but he uses those things. As Paul talks about using those things, he says that those sufferings produce what? Well, perseverance. And then as we persevere through the difficult times, through the sufferings that we have, then that produces character, proven character. We become more like our Lord. Amen. As we live through those things, as we persevere through those things that are difficult. And what does that proven character give us? It gives us hope. James sort of has a little bit different take on it, but it's pretty much the same. He says that rejoice in your sufferings. Rejoice in those bad things. Why? Because as you persevere, it will produce perseverance. And as you persevere, what are you going to get from that? Well, let's look at James chapter 1 just for a moment and see what he says there. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God is perfecting you. He's completing you. He's conforming you to the image of his Son. He is working in your life through whatever circumstances you find yourself in. He's working through so that you can become complete. And when you become complete, well, not as you're becoming complete, this is the journey that we're going to be on for the rest of our lives. But as you're becoming complete, guess what? He's working on you so that you can bear fruit. He's pruning you so you can bear more fruit. Anyone a vine dresser here? Anyone work with vines? They might be bearing fruit, but when the true vine dresser comes in and takes care of those vines, they produce a lot more fruit. And that's what the Father is doing with us. And he's often doing it through those hardships that we face, through those difficult times, through the sufferings that we face. He's often doing it through those difficult things so that we can become more complete, so that we might bear more fruit. We need to depend on that true vine. If we're in Christ, then God is working on us as the vine dresser, lifting us up when we're not bearing fruit, and then pruning us, cleaning us, so that we can bear more fruit. And the reason, part of the reason that I translate that instead of takes away to the lifting up, Jesus goes on to say, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He's talking to believers. He's talking to disciples. Judas is already gone. He's talking to believers as he talks about how the vine dresser cares for them. So when you're stuck in the mud, when you don't see how God is using you, when you don't see any fruit being produced in your life, what do you do? Well, Psalm 80. Go to the vine dresser. Go to that one who has planted you. Turn to him, tell him, ask him, revive me again, so that I can bear fruit. And the vine dresser comes down and he lifts you up and puts you in a place where you can get the sun, where you can get the water that you need. He cleans you up so you can bear more fruit. Don't stay that broken down branch that's drooping in the dirt. Pray to God that he might revive you and lift you up and then prune you or clean you so that you can produce the fruit that he has for you. And that's where he goes to next. Bearing much fruit. Let's look at 4-8. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Abide in me, and I in you. The Christian life is not one of just following some oppressive doctrine. Okay, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. Make sure you don't do this, 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 and this. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is abiding in the true vine. It's a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's knowing that he is at work in us. He's given us Holy Spirit, part of the blessing of the new covenant. He's given us the Holy Spirit to work in us, to change our heart, so that we desire the same things as our Lord. So that we live in a way that honors our Lord. The Christian life is not a set of rules. It's a relationship with the Lord of the universe, with the one who loved us so much that he humbled himself, lived his perfectly righteous life, and then died for us. It's a relationship with someone who has given his life that we might be saved. And we need him. We continually need him. It's not just a matter of, okay, I'm saved now, Jesus covers my sin, and now I go off and I live according to the ways of the world. No. We need to abide in Christ. Stay connected to him. Know that we have a relationship with him that carries on throughout our lives and will carry on into eternity. We have a relationship. We need the vine in order to bear fruit. If you're not abiding in Christ, if you're not connected to the vine, you aren't a believer. Are there people sitting in our churches who are not believers? Yes. There are weeds among the grain. The fact is that there are those that come and they don't truly believe. They're not abiding in the vine. If you're wondering whether you are one of those, go to Jesus. The fact is, he has suffered and died for his people. And if you're sitting here and you don't know him, you don't know that you're abiding in the vine, well, that may be part of what you should be thinking now. How can I abide in the vine? Jesus says, if you seek me, you will surely find me. Go to him. And those of you who know you're saved, know that you're a believer, don't let the things of this world take you away from abiding in the vine, trusting in that relationship that you have with the living God. Those who are thrown away, they're the ones who are not connected. They've dropped off. They're sitting on the ground, and they have to be gathered up and burned in the fire. Don't be one of those. Now, if you are abiding in the vine, if you're a believer and you're abiding in the vine, he says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. So, do we go to Jesus like, you know, Aladdin's lamp? What happened when they rubbed Aladdin's lamp? The genie popped out. I don't know if you've ever seen Aladdin and the genie popping out. And he's not quite the genie. In the Disney movie, he's not quite the genie you would expect. You know, he's just sort of, a big, I don't know what color is he, purple or blue or something. But anyway, but you rub the lamp and the genie offers you whatever you want. You know, give me 3 wishes. Is that the way Jesus works? Now, he's talking to people who are abiding in the vine. If you're abiding in the vine, you're thinking, will match the vines. You know that the source of your strength, you know the source of anything that you can do, comes from that vine, and you're part of the outworking of how Jesus works in the world. So if you're abiding in the vine, your thoughts are connected to the vine's thoughts. And as we think about that, as we go through our lives, we can ask whatever we want. Now, does the vine want people to know the truth of the gospel? Sure. Pray for opportunities to share the truth of the gospel. Does the vine want people to show mercy to those who are in need? Of course. We see that over and over again. Show mercy to those who are around you. Does the vine want you to be involved in other people's lives so that you can help them to grow? It's part of the church. Are you working on each other, encouraging each other, stimulating one another to love and good deeds, doing all of those things? Pray for that. Ask whatever you wish. And guess what? It will be done for you. If you're abiding in the vine. People will just ask for things that are totally different from what God wants. Are they abiding in the vine? No. And so there's the key. If you're abiding in the vine, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. As we live as those who know Christ, we should be bearing much fruit. Now, what is that fruit? Well, part of the fruit is the advancement of God's kingdom. People coming to know Christ, as they look at our lives and say, hey, there's something different there. There's something that I'm missing there. There's something that I need there. And we share the gospel with them and they come to Christ. People coming to know Christ is part of the fruit of abiding in the vine. Use every opportunity that God gives you. But is that the only fruit? No. We also see that the fruit of the Spirit, and we can tie that in there with our fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Living as those who know Jesus Christ, who abide in the vine, those are the kinds of things that should be part of the fruit that is produced in our lives. Look over that passage in Galatians 5, 22-25, and see, am I growing in these things? That's part of the fruit that God has promised to bring to me when I abide in the vine. And as the church works together, as you work together, abiding in Christ and working together to honor him, part of the fruit is just conforming more and more to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at that in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Conforming to Christ is part of the work of the church as we work together to help each other to grow. And it's part of the fruit of being attached, abiding in the true vine. So where's your fruit? Look at your life. Where's your fruit? Have you had opportunity to share the truth of the gospel with those around you? To see people respond and to come? Have you seen a difference as you abide in the vine in the way that you live your life, in your family, with your children, and wherever it happens to be, in your workplace? Do you have that love, joy, peace, and so on? Are you showing the fruit of the Spirit as you live among other people? Are you enabling those within this congregation to continue to grow so that they're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? So they're becoming more and more complete in Him. Where's your fruit? If you look at your life and you say, well, I don't have much fruit. And pray that God, the vine dresser, will lift you up and put you in a place where you can bear fruit. If you say, well, I see a little fruit there, but, you know, there might be a possibility of more. And pray that God will bring things into your life that will help to prune you, to clean you, to make it so that you will bear more fruit. Now, that's dangerous. Okay. Usually those things aren't the things that we're really desiring on the surface. But whatever God brings is meant to help, to prune, to clean, to make you more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your fruit? But when you're looking to increase your fruit, be careful. Some people look by, okay, I've got to get on this missions committee. I've got to make sure that I'm going door to door, knocking on doors. I've got to do this. Is bearing more fruit doing a list of 50 things that you weren't doing before? Is that how you're going to bear more fruit?
No.
Probably not. How do you bear more fruit? You abide in the vine. Work on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the true vine. Draw your strength from Him. Draw what you're going to do from what he shows you. If you're abiding in the vine, He's going to open your eyes to the things that you should be doing. You see that neighbor in need, He's going to take you there. He's going to give you the words to say. Draw your strength from Him. Abide in the vine. Don't just try and come up with a list of 50 things you can do. Get closer to Jesus. Develop your relationship with Him. And then keep your eyes open to what He's given you to do. And that's how our joy can be made full. Let's look at 9 to 11. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Oh, that's such a great thing. That Jesus is calling us to abide in His love. Now, we see a lot of the Muslims that are on the extremes going out and trying to win their God's favor by doing what? Killing people, doing whatever. What's Jesus calling us to do? Abide in my love. What a blessing. But then verse 10 sort of brings us back home to, oh yeah, I need to be responsible as well. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Notice the connection with abiding in His love and keeping the commandments. Guess what? God made you. God knows how you work best. You're not going to come up with something that is better than what God has said to you. Amen. Understand that as you're living your life, as you're living out the commandments that He's given you, that you're living out the truth of His word, He's given that to you so that you can have that full life that you should have. You can have the joy that comes from serving your God. The commandments are not oppressive. The commandments give us freedom to do and to be the person God has made us to be. Let's go on there. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And notice how he finishes. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. Are you attached to the true vine? Are you drawing your strength from him? Are you drawing your sustenance from him? Are you going to him for when those difficulties come up, for when the positive things come up? Are you drawing your strength from him to live the life that he has for you? So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. We see people in our world trying to be happy. And so they do all sorts of things to be happy. Solomon did that, and he called it chasing after the wind. What's going to make you happy? Bigger boat, extra money in the bank, looking more beautiful. You see a lot of things, people thirsting after that. I don't bother. It's not going to do any good. But people in the world are reaching out after something so that they can feel that they're useful, and maybe they can feel that they're more powerful. They can feel like they've got the world in their hands. And it's chasing after wind. They reach for it, and it's gone. Even if they catch it, it's not fulfilling. And they have to go on to something else. Dealing with a young man who thinks he knows what is best for his life. And the biggest thing for him is to be cool with his friends, and so he has to display things that he thinks people will respect him for, like beating up other kids. Not a good idea. But that's in his mind. He's not connected to the vine. That's the biggest problem. You see someone who's really destroying themselves, pray that God will work in their heart and get them connected with the true vine. That's the only way that they're going to be helped in a permanent way. Dealing with a girl that says she is connected to the vine, but as she walks through her life, she's got her idea of where she needs to be and what she needs to be doing. And that's caused her to make some mistakes, because she's drawn away from the true vine and she's starting to seek things on her own. You know people like that. They need to come back and get connected with the true vine and then humbly come before that true vine. Say, God, what have you made me for? What is the purpose for which you have put me on this earth? What is the purpose for which you've come and you've saved me and you've planted me? How can I live the life for which you've made me? Then some of those things that you're chasing after, they'll just disappear. Because you're looking at what God wants for your life. True joy. The only way to get true joy comes from abiding in Christ. Living according to his word, following his commands, and walking the path that he has laid before us. Always, always, always connected to the true vine. If something's going wrong where you don't see how God could possibly be using this in your life, forget. Go back to that connection. Restore your relationship with the true vine. And then you'll see, when you draw from his strength, when you take in his joy, then your joy will be made full. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for working in our hearts, for giving of yourself, for suffering and dying for us so that we could have your righteousness, so that we could abide in the true vine, so that we could be connected to you. Oh, Lord, help us to make sure that that is where we look. That we look to you, that we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And as we do that, then we see how you are working in us, completing us, conforming us to yourself, so that we can live for you, so that we can bear fruit for you. Lord, help us to see the fruit, to see how you are working and helping us to bear that fruit. Help us to always look to the vine dresser, caring for us, lifting us up when we need to be lifted up, pruning us when we need to be pruned. Enable us to trust in you, the true vine. In Jesus' name we pray.